It's actually quite interesting with Joel saying about me, you know, what God's done in my life and how I've ended up being the woman that I am, because you're actually going to hear a little bit about that journey tonight. Yeah, because it's interesting, you know, as soon as I got asked if I could share something, and Joel, I'm going to share a little bit of this, because Joel actually asked, is there a date that you'd like to share? And I felt like God say very clearly, 25th of March. And I was like, oh, okay. So I text Joel, and sure enough, 25th of March. And it wasn't until a few days later that I recognized the significance of the 25th of March. And that is that 14 years ago to this day, I was standing probably at about this time, actually, or maybe it would have already happened because it was in New Zealand. So about this time in New Zealand, under some stairs in a large stadium, bawling my eyes out with 945 people that had come forward to receive Christ. And yeah. And the thing that God has been speaking to me lately, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's actually been really stirring in my heart, but the word that keeps coming to me again and again and again is remember, remember, remember. And there's a scripture here in Psalm 63. Well, it's the whole of Psalm 63. And actually, I'll read from 1 to 8. That says, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and have beheld your power and glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied, as with the riches of food, richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. And honestly, I could say that that's really been my journey just for the last little while. And I actually felt like, even sharing tonight, I want to say almost as a disclaimer, I feel like I need to preach this to myself. And there was a part of me that just thought, oh my goodness, should I just, you know, take this all in and share on something else? But God said, no, I'm to share it. And so I'm sharing it with an open heart, saying, you know, you never really reach those moments. You know, there's always, in fact, Joel actually prayed something tonight. I don't remember the exact words, but it was like, I am just, in my words, it's just, I'm here, not really knowing what my next step is, but knowing that you're with me and knowing that what you've given me, I can keep moving forward with. And in fact, even this morning, as I was standing here after the end of your sermon, is I just actually was in tears, just really impacted by what Joel was saying. With if you were here this morning, then you'll know what I'm talking about. But I'll share just that he was talking about Jonathan and Michmash, and basically Jonathan going up and being that one man with his armor bearer that decided to go and fight the army and say, will God go with me? You know, if I go up and someone says, well, the person says, I'll go up, you know, you'll come up and you know, come up to us, then Jonathan was prepared to go just with that one invite, knowing that God would go with him. And it brought all the people out of hiding, all the people out of their caves. And I just, honestly, that just spoke so much to me, and I feel like this is actually, I mean, God's already given me this message, and I feel like this goes right behind this morning's message. So if you haven't heard this morning's message, then listen to it on the podcast. But you may know that, if you know much about me, and obviously Joel's shared that too, is that I actually can't stop thinking about people getting saved. I honestly, it consumes my head. I can't think of anything else from when I get up in the morning to go, when I go to bed at night. It's almost like everything I hear, I keep thinking, oh yes, we could use that, sharing our faith. Oh yes, we could use that tip too. You know, and so there's this part of me that almost wants to be involved in absolutely everything, but yet I know that I can't be. But as part of the journey, I'm in a job now where I'm sharing my faith online, and I've also been given other opportunities as well to go and get involved and I just went recently to a school in Germany, and that was with 156 evangelists, and it was about how we can reach people through stadium evangelism or stadium outreach. And it was an incredible time. And there was this message, and I've actually got it on recording, and I've listened to it twice over. And I can honestly not hear what I heard God speak to me that morning, or that day. It was almost like God stopped me in the middle, and it was Paul Manwaring's message. And he was actually sharing about his journey and how God got his own personal story together. And I felt like God say to me, you need to go back to the place. Now, Paul actually never said that in his message. He never said those words, but I heard those words and I was like, oh, what did he say? You know how you're in the middle of listening to something and it was like I got stopped? Well, this is part of my journey, is actually going back to that place of what God has done and remembering what God has done. So it's been stirring, and I feel like it's a message, hopefully, that God has also been stirring with you. But to remind ourselves and others what God has done. And he's always good, and he's always kind, and he always has answers for us. He always has answers for us. And going back to that beginning of what I said at the start, is that this is 14 years to that day that I was standing under the stairs. I want to take you back, hopefully I won't cry, but take you back on that journey of what God did in my life and the principles that I have actually discovered and understood along the way. Because I initially wasn't interested at all in what I saw. And so I want to bring you back. But I want to ask this question. If you can sort of think of this question throughout the time that I'm sharing this story, are we going to stand on the sideline and watch? Are we going to stand on the sideline and watch? Or are we going to be someone that jumps in and takes part? It can be incredibly messy, but it's a very exciting journey. Okay, so if you can keep that in mind just as you hear the story, because I want to take you backwards. So the night was the 25th of March, 2004. And for that to actually happen, that particular night, it happened with me connecting up with someone in Auckland, New Zealand, on the 19th of November, 2002. So it was a year and a half, I guess, before that. And this was a guy that I had spent the day with. I'd met him previously when I was, he was living down in the South Island. I lived in Christchurch at that stage. And anyway, I was going up to Auckland for a holiday, and so I spent the day with him. And at the end of the day, he said to me, look, can I show you a video? And I was like, oh, sure. So he came into my cousin's house and we sat down and we watched this video. And it was a video about stadium evangelism in New Zealand with Impact World Tour. And it was, in fact, I was going to show it tonight, but I decided I'd spare you the 4 minutes. But it's a great little advertising. And honestly, I watched it and I thought, why was it that I wasn't moved to actually do something about that at the time? I was thinking, well, it's exciting. people were getting saved. It's a it was about a stadium event where three different teams of people would come and share the good news through. It was a GX team, which is skating and blading and hip-hop dancing. Then there was Island Breeze, so that was cultural singing and dancing. And then there was Team Extreme, and they were men that broke bricks and blew up hot water bottles, and they shared a gospel message. Now, I mean, I was definitely moved, I think, to tears because I saw that there were some people that were sharing testimonies. One guy went forward and said, you know, my wife has given her life to Christ, and there was someone else with her friends and she was hugging them and crying and saying, you know, my friends have come to know Jesus. And so I was definitely moved with that, but not so moved that I thought that I would do something about it. But God knew, because I then walked up the driveway with my friend, and as he was leaving, he handed me this business card. But at the time when he handed me the business card, he put both hands on my shoulder. And I'm going to be really vulnerable here. I'm going to tell you what's going through my head. I thought, oh my goodness, he's going to kiss me. So I sort of stood back like this. I grabbed the business card off him, and he said to me, will you promise you'll call? I said, I promise. And then that was it. That was the end. So I'm holding this business card. In fact, I don't actually think I've spoken to that guy since. It's just really funny. Anyway, holding the business card or wherever I put it, in my pocket or whatever, and that was that. Well, I got home and I put that business card on my desk, and it honestly felt like it was burning a hole in my desk, because I had said, I promise. And when I say I promise, I really want to fulfill my promises. And so anyway, it was a Sunday afternoon. I don't remember how many weeks later, but I remember thinking every time I saw that card, I'm going to have to call that guy, So anyway, Sunday afternoon, I was actually got on the phone. So I, you know, dialed the number, and the phone is ringing. And what I was going to say to him is, hi, this is Morag, and I got given this card by blah, blah, blah. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. What you're doing is great, but I'm not interested. That's what I was honestly going to say. And as the phone was ringing, I thought, well, I just had this thought. That's not very encouraging. I should be more encouraging. I could at least do just something little, right? So the phone's ringing. He answers the phone. And that guy's name's Tony. And I was like, hi, Tony, Morag here. And I told him, you know, the story. And when I told him the name of the guy, he's like, who? And I was thinking, oh no, he didn't even know I was going to call. I could have not called. So I kind of basically put myself in this place where, you know, suddenly I've, you know, committed myself, saying to him, look, I really don't think I'm interested in, you know, me personally being involved in what you're doing, but I'd love to help connect you with people at my church. So then what did he say to me? He said, would you like to come along to the first church kickoff that we've got? And I was like, oh. He sort of basically convinced me, and I said, okay. Next thing I know, I'm sitting at this other church, and I'm sitting in their presentation. So the church kickoff as such is someone standing up the front, showing the video, casting the vision, being able to offer people opportunity to get involved. Now, again, I'm going to be really vulnerable. As the guy was sharing, I remember just looking at parts of him. I remember thinking, oh, he had a little finger that was bent a funny way. So when he pointed, I wasn't sure where it's pointing. I honestly, my mind was like spinning around. And then I suddenly had this thought, you know, I think I'd quite like to do something like that once I'm married. That was my thought. And that's all I thought until the time when it came to pray. So we got asked to pray, how could you be involved? And would you be willing to give up 1 week of your wages? And God speaks, right? He said to me, I want you to give up 1 week of your wages, and I want you to volunteer. So I ticked 1 week of my wages, and then I ticked the little volunteer box and I said, I don't know what I will do, but I promise I will call you. Right? So anyway, comes to Monday morning, I think Tuesday, and then I'm thinking, oh, I better call. So I call the office, hello, I'm Morag. And I said, you know, I put this down on the card, blah, 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 blah. And they said, oh, we haven't got that card. And I was thinking, oh, it's another opportunity. I could have just like ditched out of it, but no. Anyway, God had me. And so I just said, look, I don't know how I'll be involved, but I'm happy to be involved. So what did Morag end up doing? Going to one of the very first committee meetings. Now, I sat at the committee meeting and I remember them quite explicitly saying, would someone like to take minutes? And I was like, so I took the minutes. And I think I took every single meeting minutes. I had never really taken minutes before and I didn't really know. I remember them saying to me, Morag, your minutes are very detailed. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't realise it was meant to be a summary of the meeting. But anyway, they ended up getting pages of what such and such said this and then this said this. Anyway, so it was quite funny. So I attended those meetings every single week. And I remember, you know, we had a nice little board up and it had all these different positions that needed to be filled. So as you can imagine with stadium events, there's a lot that has to happen. So it's things like ushers and counsellors for people coming up the front that gives their lives to Christ. There's the arrangements team, which does all of the preparation. You've got the prayer team. You've got the discipleship team. You've got all sorts of different roles that need to be filled. And I remember sitting there thinking, right, okay, better pray hard about, you know, who's going to fill these positions. And week by week, there'd be a different name that would come. And I always used to think, I couldn't do that. I always used to think that. I couldn't do that. And that thought kept going over and over in my mind. Anyway, the event was drawing closer. We didn't have enough counsellors. We didn't have enough ushers. And there were all sorts of needs. So we needed finance and we needed a lot of people. So as you can imagine, I didn't tell you at the start, but the stadium that I was in had just over 5,000 people in it. Now, the statistics for people coming forward are 10%. So that means if we have, say, 5,000, just say as a round number, we should have 500 counsellors, so to partner up. So each person that comes forward to give their life to Christ would have one person each. And I don't remember how many people we had, but we didn't have anywhere near enough people. And as, you know, I've told you, 945 people came forward, which was almost double what was actually predicted. But anyway, I sat there in these committee meetings thinking, oh, I wonder who's going to fill these positions. You know, I wonder how are we going to get these people? And then suddenly, I had an idea. I could do something. And anyway, the thing that was holding me back, and I didn't realise this, is the guy that had initially given me the business card and put his hands on my shoulders. He said to me, don't get too involved or they'll get you. And that was all that could keep running around in my head. And I didn't realise that I was actually living with that lie. Don't get too involved or they'll get you. So I suddenly realised, if we don't get involved, we just sit on the sidelines, hope it will work, maybe make a few judgment calls about what did and what didn't, and we end up being that bystander. And I thought, you know what? I can't be that bystander. So I knew how to organise balls. I had done a Millennium Singles Mingle ball. Right back in 2000, Millennium Singles Mingle, I knew that it would work. So I'm like, right, we've got a finance is needed. So we'll do this ball, and then in the middle of the ball, we'll get the guy that raises funds to speak, and then we'll carry on dancing. This will be great. So everybody agreed to it, right? And I got all the printing done and I got all the advertising, and I think I actually went out and, you know, I don't remember how I advertised it, but anyway, we went and got this all prepared, and then there were some issues. Because what had I done? I'd put on the thing, on the little flyer, buy your own alcohol, I think it was. I was thinking, right, that'll be all right because it's a church thing. They can buy their own, then we're not responsible. I remember thinking that in my head, right? So there was that. But there was also the guy that does the fundraising said, that is not the type of fundraising that I do. I don't come along to a dance. I actually would normally have a dessert, because the idea was that have a dessert evening, would all be people round tables, there'd be a quiet time for everyone to pray, ask God how much money they should give. I had broken all of the rules and hadn't been told that it wasn't okay. And then we were going to get this MC to come in, and he was a radio announcer. He was quite popular and a Christian, and that didn't work out. So I ended up MCing. So I'm at this ball with a lot of contention, but thankfully the finance guy turned up. Thankfully everything actually happened. In the middle of the night, I remember quite specifically thinking, I just want to run. I just want to run out the door. And I went to the toilet. That's my go-to place sometimes. And I sat down there and I was like, God, please help me. I don't even know if I can get up and MC without crying. Because honestly, it just seemed like I had made the biggest mistake. But you know what? That biggest mistake brought a lot of contention and it brought a lot of people. Yeah. Yoo-hoo! So there were all these churches that started saying, you know, you can't do this and you can't do that, but then we got people involved and we got our ushers and we got our counsellors, and praise God, we even got the finance. So it was awesome. Yeah, you can clap for that, yeah. And I often think about that, you know, our biggest mistakes can become God's biggest miracle. And, you know, I cried a lot, but my heart was in the right place. I never intended for anyone to get upset. I never intended to cause an issue, but God knew it was going to bring the people, right? And he uses us on the move, and he aims that bullet that we fire as we're on the move. And then the tour had actually already started throughout the country. So it was 3 months of tour across New Zealand. And I started back in January, and at this point, so the ball that I did actually happened on the 20th of February. So it had already, the tour had started, there were already people getting saved throughout the country. And I ended up going up to Blenheim, so a little bit further up south, to get involved in that tour, or just to watch and see what was going to happen when it came to Christchurch. Now, I went with the guy that had put his name down and was coordinating the arrangements, which was the whole stadium event, you know, as in getting the stage up and all of that kind of thing. And I got back from that time, and I think it was the next committee meeting, he said, look, I'm sorry, I can't do this. And I was like, oh, no, crumbs. You know, thinking we actually need people in this role. So I said, I'll do it. So I end up in the middle of the stadium with a little walkie-talkie with all of setting up the whole stage and getting all the guys organised, and I'm running around saying you can't put that there and you need to move that there, and I just got fully into this arrangements, and it was just amazing. I mean, actually I've skipped a little bit here. It was 1 month to go when I actually said yes to that arrangements role, 1 month. So I basically worked in the office. I was working as a practice manager in a law firm. I worked in the office during the day, and at night time I went to the Impact World Tour office to work at night and pull those people together. And I tell you, it was the most amazing time. And then 1 week before the tour started, I went to our church worship practice night. So I was part of the worship team. And along came the scripture. And I'm going to read that to you. It's Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just, and all his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. And I stood that night listening to that psalm, and I remember quite clearly God saying to me, "You're not going to be here much longer." But my head didn't want to hear it. I think my heart already had. Yeah. And then we take it 1 week later, and I'm under the stairs at the front of the stadium. The place was just a buzz. It was absolutely amazing. When I went in that day to set up, I'd actually taken the week off work. I went in, and at the back of the stadium was a prayer room. So if you could imagine, this is a smaller view of the stadium here. So just those windows up there were the prayer people, and they were basically declaring over that stadium. I went into that prayer room and I honestly thought my knees were going to collapse from underneath me. I just remember there being such a buzz, and I said to the person, Jamie, her name was, that was beside me as the event had started, and Jason Hoteri, actually, he got up on stage and he said, "Jesus!" And the whole stadium just roared back. And I remember saying to her, either this stadium is full of Christians or we're going to have a whole lot of people come forward. And you know, that night, that was when a whole lot of people came forward. There wasn't room for those 945 recorded decisions. I'd have to say they were recorded. In other words, where the councillors were standing beside someone and taking details. There wasn't enough room for those people to come forward. We had to push the seats back. There were people still coming down the aisles. I know there were people that left that night that committed their lives to Christ and they didn't put their name down. It was the most electric night, and I was remembered as the girl who was under the stairs, you might find this funny, holding a pole and crying. For anyone that knows me with my pole dancing, maybe that's where it started. Anyway, my evangelistic pole dancing, yeah. But anyway, it was that pole that held me up that night. And I remember God saying to me, "You're going to leave your home, you're going to leave your family, and you're going to go." And, you know, it was 1 week later. This is one thing, actually, I'll just say this as a little side note and a little tip. When God is saying things to you, write them down, because it's so encouraging. I just happened to have this tiny little journal that thankfully I actually wrote down what had happened. And I've gone back over that journal and just been absolutely shocked, because it has been this thing that God's said to me, remember. And as I've gone back, it honestly seemed like a very long time. I can't believe it was only a year and a half. I can't believe it was 1 week before that stadium event that God spoke to me in the worship team night. I just was like, really? Because in my mind, it seemed a lot longer. And I couldn't believe when I actually saw that on the 1st of April 2004, I had gone into my boss's office at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 1 week later, and said to him, I'm going to have to go. I have to leave. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know when I'm going. But I'm just telling you right now, you need to find someone for my job. And how much notice do you need me to give you? Because I was the practice manager of the firm. I'd helped to set up that firm with them. And I wanted to give them as much time as possible. And, you know, he actually said to me, don't muck around any longer. Go. I've seen it in you for months. Yeah. This is someone, you know, at that time, I mean, he's got a faith in God, but he's actually heard from God a lot for me, I tell you. God's used him so much to tell me those things. But yeah, he had seen it in me for a number of months. And Psalm 37, 4-5 says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust him and he will do this. And in less than 3 months, I was over living in Perth and I started another amazing journey, which I won't go into tonight. But, you know, sometimes you just need to take that giant leap. And again, I'd really encourage you, listen to this morning's message again, because there's just in that last 5 minutes, I tell you, that was jam-packed full of goodness. I mean, there was lots of other stuff in there too, but it was jam-packed with, you know, are we actually going to take that step? Are you going to be obedient? It was obedience. It was me hearing God's voice. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't even know what I was committing to. I couldn't believe the words were coming out of my mouth. But I was obedient to what God had spoken to me, and he was guiding me. He was stepping me through that journey. Throw yourself in. Are you ready to throw yourself in? You know, I actually said to God, so this is, I came back to work, right? My boss said to one of the other employees, she's on this God high. Can you talk to her? And that's when one of my friends, Beck, said to me, Morag, you've really got to go in and talk to your boss. And so that's what I did, right? I was on this God high and I knew God had spoken to me, and it was a very scary place to be. I said to God the day before, if you want me to go, then you give me a supporter. I just want one to start off with. Just give me one supporter the confirmation. That's it. Thank you, Luke. Excuse me. Just give me one. So do you know what I got? One supporter that day. And do you know what that supporter was giving me? $20 a month. And I was like, woohoo! But I didn't even think about what $20 a month meant. I had already gone into my boss's office and said, I'm going. And I tell you, after that, I totally freaked out. Totally. Totally freaked out. I remember thinking, I hope no one talks to me about what I'm doing because I don't know what I'm doing. But God got me there. I threw myself in, quite literally. Are you prepared to throw yourself in? And what is holding you back? What's holding you back? And you know, I said at the start, I know that I'm speaking to myself. I feel like I'm preaching to myself, because we have to constantly make these moves. It's not just a jump of I've stepped out and I've left my job and I've, you know, sold all my things and rented my house and gone to a foreign land on support of as a volunteer. It was a big thing, right? But just because I've done that once now doesn't mean I can sit back and relax. there's more jumping out of the boat that I've got to do. There's jumping out of the boat that you guys are going to do, and God will help you and he'll be there. So are we going to stand on the sideline and watch? Or are we going to be that person that jumps in and takes part? Remember, it can be incredibly messy, but it's the most exciting journey. Okay. I actually think to finish up, why don't we just stand? And you know what's happening in your heart. You know what God's been speaking to you. And I'm going to pray for us. And that this would be, again, one of those prompts for us to go and do what God is calling us to do. So, Father, I thank you for the way that you speak. I thank you for the things that you've done in our lives. I ask, Lord, right now, that you would cause us to remember. Cause us to remember what you've done. Cause us to go back again. Remind us, Lord, how when we've put our foot forward, you've been there to catch us. And even when we've made mistakes, you've caught us and you've brought us back. Lord, I ask that anywhere we were holding back, that you would cut those ties tonight. Lord, that you would minister deeply to our spirits. Lord, minister to mine. I've said that so clearly tonight. Each one of us, we need to constantly take that leap. It's an exciting journey. It's a messy journey, but we thank you that you're there. We thank you that you're kind. We thank you that you love us and that you want the best for us. And we thank you that you are going to use us to reach the nations. Whether it be big, whether it be small, Lord, our part is important. And I ask, would you change our mindsets tonight anywhere, Lord, where we're holding back what you have already called us to do? Would you change us tonight? Would you set us on that journey or help us to continue on the journey that you have us on so that we can step out of the boat and do all that you've called us to? In your precious name, amen. Yeah. Thank you. I just want to, you can sit down, I'll just give you one final thing. There's a stadium event that is coming to Australia, and it's called Awakening Australia, and it's taking place in November, the 16th to the 18th, and it's going to be at Etihad Stadium down in Melbourne. Now, that stadium holds 50,000 people, and it's not an event just for Melbourne, it's an event for Australia. And there's all sorts of ways that you can get involved in being involved in this event, either by turning up to it or by praying or giving financially. There's all sorts of different ways. But I want to tell you just one way that I've committed to that you might like to do the same as well, is at 7 o'clock every night, I pray for Australia. And the mandate is for this stadium event is that 100,000 souls get saved this year in Australia. 100,000 souls. Now, just remember, you could be someone that just sits back, or you could be someone that postures themselves and gets involved. And no matter where I am, when my alarm goes off, I get those people that are with me to pray with me. So it went off just after communion, and Bernie and I, we prayed. So if it had gone off when I was standing up here, I was going to get all of you to pray. But I actually wonder if right now, even though it's not 7 o'clock, if we might be able to partner up and pray for 100,000 souls for Australia, and also just ask God and pray together. Do this as a little application of tonight. So pray for those 100,000 souls.